Welcome to Death Holler, Season 5, When Bad Animals Go Bad. With your hosts, the Reverend Dr. Death and Lyraina. This season will include love.
Do you know how your husband died?
Oh, yes. I killed him.
Transformations. And certified good boys and girls.
Cujo, what are you growling at?
Remember, when you're in Death Holler, listener discretion is always advised.
Go bad, dang!
Everyone, and welcome back to Death Holler. I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Death. Joining me as always is my co-host, Lyraina. Lyraina, are you happy that you made me watch Dog on Dog Grape? Are you proud of yourself?
I, as a representation from my client, he can neither confirm nor deny the allegations being placed on him.
I'm pretty sure that that Max, we'll just go by that nickname, is on Epstein's list, and we'll leave it at that. Anyways, okay, dear listeners, this episode is going to be an interesting one. I've mentioned with Lyraina that we need to do an MST3K style takedown of a movie for a while. And while we had already planned to do that with this season with Twilight, damn, this episode could have definitely benefited from that format. So grab your old school handheld camcorders, break into the local animal testing lab, and mine the copious mouths of rats as we delve into Man's Best Friend and Willard, the 2003 version. But first, if you're enjoying the podcast, we would appreciate it if you take the time to like, comment, subscribe on whatever podcast platform you prefer. It helps us get more visibility on podcast listings and helps us grow. Also, consider following us on social media. You can find us on TikTok and Twitter under Death Holler Pod, and we can be found on Instagram and Facebook under Death Holler Podcast. We appreciate everyone who listens and hope you enjoy the show. First up, Man's Best Friend from 1993. Tagline, companion, protector, killer.
Ooh, I like it. Him's a certified good boy.
You know what I don't like? I don't like when movie posters lie to me. It's been brought up by the Dead Pit guys that the actual movie Dead Pit, the poster, or actually the VHS cover you'd see, that which was so badass when you go to a video store, totally lied about how shitty that actual movie was. And the only reason Dead Pit now is halfway decent is because those guys have that podcast. The actual movie itself is dog shit. I will submit to you that having a cyborg dog on the poster for this fucking movie and then having a genetically modified dog, which has no cybernetic components whatsoever, is some bullshit. Let's just throw that out there.
Yeah, they definitely, because just from my younger years, I haven't seen this movie since maybe a couple years after it came out, and I was like, oh yeah, I thought this dog had some kind of cyborg fucking powers or whatever, and yeah, we found out that
we fucked around and we found out that this movie lied, and that's not the first thing it lies about.
Oh yeah.
Directed by John Lafia, written by John Lafia. I didn't get who made the music. I'm sorry. Let's just suffice to say the music in this does not fit the movie. Mm-mm, because
it doesn't. It's very Lassie-ish almost.
It's to me, it almost reminds me of like Beethoven, like the movie. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's got like this very whimsical, like, you know, almost like you're watching a made for TV movie for kids or something type music.
Yeah, okay, it's funny that you said that, because even Noah was like, Beethoven, when, I don't know, one scene, I'm pretty sure it was one of the scenes with the kids, and I'm just going to say that I thought it was kind of hilarious, because yes, it doesn't go with the movie, but that's the funny part about it, is that this movie does get kind of crazy at some point, so it's kind of funny to have such friendly music and then just this dog go ass wild.
Well, it's even dumber because this is skipping ahead slightly, but there's a scene in the movie where these young boys like seek, you know, the dog Max on one of the local cats. Mm-hmm. And I mean, him like literally chasing the cat up a tree and like getting ready. I mean, he devours it whole.
Yes.
Is played to this, like, you know, it's like, oh, shucks type music.
It was whimsical. Time.
Yeah. Like it does not fit the movie whatsoever.
I actually liked it though, and I understand if you think I'm crazy or you're like, what the fuck is wrong with her? That's fine. I'm comfortable with that. But
as long as you accept your insanity, that's all that matters.
That shit is hilarious. You cannot deny. Like, but and although
it made the movie hilarious. Yes, don't get me wrong. But that if they were going for like a scary movie, it is not that. I'm just throwing it out there.
Let me tell you, though, the feeling definitely went away when the cat was starting to get swallowed, because I was not happy with that. You know, as an animal lover, I was not okay with that. So,
the funny thing about this is that the guy who, one of the people who made the music for this movie, I just looked it back up just to confirm, is Joel Goldsmith. And you know what he's famous for?
Oh, dear.
The Star Trek music.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So he really dropped off the fucking, you know, like he must have been drunk off his ass whenever he made this. I mean, this is fucking ridiculous.
I just don't know how to defend myself is what I'm getting at.
Here's something that's even more ridiculous. Made for a budget of $6 million. It made $12.9 million. This fucking movie made money.
Hell yeah. I think it should have. Like, I know that's kind of a spoiler alert, and granted, I think people will agree with my review, you know, at the end. So obviously I'm not going to jump that gun yet or anything, but I still think it should have made money. I think it's a good movie for its time.
We'll get into that. We'll get into that. This is going to be an interesting one to break down.
Yes.
So, principal players, Ally Sheedy plays Lori Tanner, the investigative reporter and animal softy. I almost put animal lover when I typed this up, but that could be construed in a lot of bad ways.
Yeah.
I mean, so, but she's got a soft spot for animals, and most sane people do, so that's fine.
Because Max is a certified good boy.
That's in your vision. But Ally Sheedy, I was surprised to see her slumming it in this. I don't know why I was surprised, because really she was only famous back in the 80s. But, like, she's in the fucking Breakfast Club. Like, she's the weird emo girl that's got, like, the terrible dandruff in the movie that, for some reason, Emilio Estevez, the jock, is, like, drawn to. I don't know, that golden, you know, retriever emo energy that you talk about all the time, I guess, is what's going on. But I mean, you know, most people who grew up in the 80s remember The Breakfast Club, you know, and associate with one of the characters in it. And it's funny that, you know, she was in that. She was in Short Circuit, you know, Johnny Five is Alive.
Oh, yeah.
And War Games.
I was wondering, she's very recognizable. I just didn't know what I recognized her from.
But it's just, I mean, you're watching this, what seems like a fucking made-for-TV movie, and you're like, what the hell happened to you? Like, you just, I mean, like, I mean, I get the next person in the movie, Lance Henriksen. Lance did all kinds of B-movies, so it's fine. You can see Lance in anything, and he usually elevates whatever he's in. But Ally Sheedy, it's like, what the fuck am I, why is she in this? Anyways. Lance Henriksen plays Dr. Jarrett, the owner of Emax Labs, and he's certifiably insane. If you want to call Max a certified good boy, then Dr. Jarrett's certifiably insane.
Dr. Jarrett is the reason that Max has his moments. Max was probably a very good and smart dog before he was fucked with.
No, I'll agree with you on that. That is the case. He's a victim
of his circumstances.
It's not Max's fault, because Max's brain is degrading in the movie. That's the whole plot of the movie, mm-hmm. And it's because of Dr. Jarrett that's happening.
Yes.
So, Lance Henriksen, and this is a spoiler alert for anybody who wants to watch Creature Feature Season when we do it, is in one of my favorite movies of all time, Pumpkinhead.
Yeah, we both can't wait to review that. I
love that movie.
I have not seen that movie in decades, just to age myself, and I can't wait to revisit, and I am purposely not revisiting it because I know we will get to it. I don't want to ruin it for the show.
All I can say about Pumpkinhead is that it's set in, you know, Nowheresville, Appalachia, and that for once they don't make fun of the people in the area, and they do a good job with the movie. So kudos to the people that made Pumpkinhead.
Yeah.
He was in Alien 3, and a bunch of other Aliens movies because he was the, you know, android in those movies that gets attacked by the, you know, big, you know, queen alien and all that stuff. He was in Scream 3, which we've already covered.
Wait, who was he in Scream 3?
He played the movie producer that was supposed to be like a stand-in for Wes Craven or whatever.
Ah, okay.
The one that had a little bit of a pedophile vibe to him or whatever.
Yes, I remember. That was a pretty good depiction, actually.
Yeah. He was in Millennium, which I really wished I'd go back. I need to go back and watch that show if it's on something, because that was an X-Files offshoot kind of about like the end of the world. And like, you know, Lance Henriksen was the main character on it. I watched just a few episodes before life happened and I got away from it, but it was a really good show. And I mean, X-Files was always great too. He plays one of the best characters ever in The Quick and the Dead. He plays kind of like this gambling cowboy type or whatever, and he's all done up, kind of looks like, you know, Wild Bill Hickok or whatever. So, and he's in another movie that we may or may not cover this season because we've debated on which Piranha movies we're going to cover.
Oh, yeah.
One and two are actually legit horror movies, but three and four are horror comedies, and they're more our vibe. So I don't know which ones we're going to cover. We might cover all of them. I don't know.
But we can. How about we do one of the horrors and one of the horror comedies?
We could do that.
So, and because you've seen all of them and I haven't, I think I've seen one and two. So we.
I've not seen one and two. I've seen I've seen Double D and what and okay. Whatever the other one is.
All right, here. Then we have to do one and Double D.
Okay. Well, he's in two, The Spawning, so there's that. He's in the sequel. We have Frederick Lenny playing Perry, who is Laurie's long-suffering boyfriend. Basically, he gets cucked by a dog, and sadly, a lot of men know this pain. But did you know that that actor is the one who played Azazel, the yellow-eyed demon in Supernatural?
Who? What? Who is?
Her boyfriend.
Is he? He looked for... He looked familiar. I didn't even think of. Did he play one of them or the? Like, cause
the
no, Azazel, shut the up. Original. I don't believe you.
Well, look it up. It's on IMDb.
All right.
And then we have Frank Welker lending his vocal talents to some animal sounds in the movie. And if anybody watched our, sorry, Cody, I know that you. If you're probably not listening to this episode, first of all, but if you are, I know you're really upset with our Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island coverage, but Frank Welker is the voice of Fred Jones and has been for years. And he also lends his voice to animals of all kinds and all kinds of other, you know, animated things.
Oh my God, it is him. He looks so different because obviously he's a lot more grown up in Supernatural.
And he also had like more lines on his face that made him look a lot different too, so... Kind of crazy, though, that that's who that was. So, synopsis. We have a television journalist. Here's news of a local science lab that is using animal subjects for its experiments. Breaking into the lab, the journalist and her camera woman discover a seemingly normal dog that has been caged in a high-security area. They rescue Max and proceed to escape the lab before the owner, Dr. Jarrett, can isolate the dog again. It turns out that the canine was an experiment in genetic modification and has all the best traits of other species in order to make the ultimate security dog. He is also mentally unhinged and requires regular injections to not go feral. Will Max be a good boy and protect his new dog mom or go on a rampage and kill everything he comes in contact with? Nature created him, science perfected him, but no one could control him.
Aww, that's not true. That is not true. She was able to have some kind of... She was able to bring out the softness in him.
Well, you could say that, but that's one of the taglines. So, again, they lied to us.
Yeah, they did. I'm just saying. And you know what? To be fair, we don't know how long she would have been able to do that because his brain was deteriorating.
Other taglines, say come and he's there. Say fed. I was waiting for you to say something.
Oh, my God. why my dog's at the door now. He's like, what the fuck is wrong with her?
Say fetch and he has it. Say sick him and all hell breaks loose.
I can't. I'm sorry. I am a child. I am a fucking teenager, apparently. I cannot. Just bonked my mic. I cannot get over that.
Do you see why I didn't put that as the main tagline for this episode?
Well, yes, but I mean, either way, I was going to be immature about it. We both know this.
Well, I was immature when I read it. I'm like, nope, that's not going on the very first part of this.
Oh my God.
Now, this was not bad. I like this one actually quite a bit. It actually fits the movie. He'll bite the hand that feeds him and then he'll eat the rest.
Oh. This. Are we just, is something wrong with us, or is there like, is there definitely innuendo in this?
There's innuendo in the fucking movie. When we get to that part when you're going to defend your fucking client, I mean, we'll have some more to say about that. His bark isn't as bad, half as bad as his bite.
I mean,
is the other one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I don't know if there's really any quotes from this movie worth sharing, because this movie, I mean, it has got some of the worst dialogue I've ever heard in my life, especially between the two dog catchers. Like, I mean, it's pretty bad.
Yeah. This was supposed to be a horror film. It's not, but it had so much comedy in it.
Yeah, here's a line from the movie from Dr. Jarrett Lance Henriksen. We're not talking man's best friend here. It's like, okay, you just cited the name of the movie. That's usually a sign that the movie's bad when somebody does that. I there's not many movies that do that and then they turn out to be great.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's no good quotes from this movie, so we're gonna move on. Movie review. This movie visually is some dog shit. Like, and I mean that in every sense of that word. Literally, it's probably got some dog shit in it. But it's partially because there's probably not a good version of this movie, but because it's got that weird like late 90s, or well, actually it's early 90s. It's got like that early 90s like fuzzy look about it when you watch it. And the way they light a lot of the scenes, it's way too lit and cheery, which goes along with the music, which makes you think like, oh, this is like Beethoven. And it's like, no, it's
not. I love that about it though, because that's what like gives you, I think that helps with the shock value, because you're right. It's not visually, it's not, well, some of it's not horrible, but some of it really is like.
The part of the movie where he opens up his jaws to swallow the cat looks so fucking bad. And I was laughing.
Well, and did you see the dog puppet too?
Because he unhinges his jaws like an anaconda.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's part of, because he's got all these.
That's part of his backstory. I get it, but it just looks so dumb.
It looks bad. Did you also see the dog puppet head that they had? Is there any trivia on that? Because I swear they had like a puppet head, or at least half
of
a body.
They did use a puppet head in some scenes. Like, they did everything in the world to harm no animals during this movie, which is
good.
It's good on them, but like some of the stuff they did was stupid.
Literally. It looked bad. Noah was asking too if they had CGI back then. They had to have something, because they obviously had him camouflaged.
So they might have had some, but remember Jurassic Park, which came out the same year, which is so much better visually. Let's just throw that out there.
Yeah, it, but what was CGI in it. But what was Jurassic Park's budget?
Well, way more than this.
Okay, there
we
go. But, just a way better movie in general. We definitely are going to review Jurassic Park, but I think it goes without saying we know how amazing that movie is.
Yeah, I'm just saying that they came out the same year. CGI was about in the same spot. So if you're wanting to say if CGI was available, obviously it was, because they used it in Jurassic Park. Okay. I just don't know if they had the money to afford any CGI in this movie.
Yeah, because whatever they had was not great. Noah was pointing out the horrible things that I think, unfortunately for the listeners, I was having such a good time watching this movie that, excuse me, let me rephrase. I was having such a good time trying to figure out ways to defend my client, because that was such a good dog. Like, the things that he did when he was being a good boy are just amazing, you know?
I'm glad you think that, because I was watching this movie and I'm like, all right, I'm waiting. This, it doesn't have anything on Cujo whatsoever. I have seen people, not even, but listen, I've seen 90s kids, you know, we're a decade removed from us, give or take, say that this was their Cujo. And I'm just like, I feel so fucking sorry for you. Like, there is no comparison.
There's no, I'm sorry. You cannot compare this to Cujo. You can almost like, you can almost put Cujo, like, if you're going to compare, because we just said you can't compare this movie to Jurassic Park in terms of how good of a movie, not even CGI, remove CGI from it. Jurassic Park was a good movie, but you can almost put Cujo in a bracket near Jurassic Park.
You, I mean, I would argue that you, I mean, it, it, I mean, they're night and day different, but at least as far as, you know, like what they, some of the acting we talked about with Dee Wallace and all that. Yeah, I would, it's way closer on the scale than this movie is.
100%. Well,
to either one of those other ones, to be honest, but I'm going to throw this out there because I'm going to start skipping around because the story's kind of stupid too. It's like, you know, you got a lab making genetic modifications. They give this dog all these abilities. Like, it can unhinge its jaw like an anaconda. It's and got not chameleon. Only that, like,
it's surgically. It's not genetically like in Jurassic Park where they took the fucking DNA from a mosquito and fucking made a dinosaur. This is all, he's got scars on him because they literally engineered him.
Yes, and they have, like, he has chameleon-like abilities. There's, oh, that's the CGI scene. That's it. That's the one we're talking about.
I told you.
So there's a scene where the two dog catchers go into a shed looking for him, and then all of a sudden they what looks like a just a thing of trash, like for tools or whatever, in one corner of the shed, changes into the dog, and it is the worst CGI you've ever seen in your life when it does it.
Chameleon.
This movie blows.
Oh, no. I hate you.
So you have that. He has the ability. He has acidic spit at one point. No, it's piss. No, piss. He's acidic piss.
He's got acidic piss. Which, where did that come from?
Somebody must have seen that Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, where the dog had the fire piss. Yeah, and was but like, that's a cool thing.
What genetic modification provided this? Who has
what animal pisses acid? I don't know. I've never seen anything that does that. I mean, maybe they were trying to. The only thing I could think of is they took like one of those, you know, like Gila monsters or what, you know, what one of those like has like the terrible like bacteria in their mouth that can kill you with a bite or whatever, like venom. And they were like, what if his urine can do that? Because dogs like to pee on things, and I don't know what to fucking tell you. It's like,
I need to interject. I need to interject real quick, and I need to go way off topic, but it's not off topic because it just reminded me about how I was going to say Cujo. Max needs to be stabilized every few days or with medication.
Yes.
Okay. Last night, Noah attempted. He made a very diligent effort to make me watch a movie called The Substance with Demi Moore. Have you seen it?
Have I seen it? I put that on my list, the top movie from last year. It is so fucking good.
Okay, and Noah's very mad at me, but would you agree I would have had a hard time with this movie because it's a very slow burn?
With The Substance?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if you, well, here's the thing. It might be a slow burn in the sense of when it gets to the crazy shit is in the last few minutes, but it has body horror scenes all throughout the movie.
And they like, were not, I mean, doing anything for me. I'll tell you where I fell off at. When the new version of her gets the job as the new exercise aerobics girl. And I was like, okay, I'm gone. And that was it. I tapped out and I was like, I can't. I can't
blame him for being mad at you because it goes so fucking crazy in the last 15 minutes that it either sells you on the movie completely or it loses you completely.
Okay, so I will finish this movie because to his credit, he said exactly what you're saying. It just, the reason why I'm bringing it up is because one, he wanted to know if you watched it. And two, the fact that they have a 7-day stabilization you know, serum that they have to basically, it's
which you know what that reminds you of, reminds me of, given what I do for a living.
What
most GLP-1 antagonist or agonist, I guess is what they are 7-day supplies. So it's, you know, if you're comparing it to beauty products in Hollywood, it's like Ozempic, you take it every 7 days, which is like the stabilizer.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. And what was that? That was a spinal fluid, yeah. Yeah. So anyways, that's what made me think of Max was we did try to watch that last night. I couldn't get through it. I was done.
You have to get to it because I'm telling you, like, I was in it the whole way because I love movies like that. But you get to that last 15 minutes and you see what she becomes, like Demi Moore's character becomes in that movie. It is fucking wild what they do in that last few minutes. I mean, and that's where I've seen a lot of people who were in for the slow burn at first. And then when they got to the end, they're like, no, this went off the rails. I can't handle this shit, you know? Have you seen The Fly with
yes,
Jeff Goldblum, right?
Yes. You know,
you know what the last few minutes in the movie where he's the full on fly and what he, you know, how crazy that gets?
Yes.
It gets that crazy.
Okay. Okay. That's fine.
All right. So
we went from visuals to story real fast.
Well, it's going to be a mix of things because I just got to throw out my thoughts on this movie. I'm going to skip right to the end. Why does the Jack Russell Terrier / whatever that little dog is have the intelligence to be able to kill Dr. Jarrett by bumping like its paw into the, like,
okay,
the plug in?
Noah said the same thing, and I am going to I am going to explain this. That I'm surprised I have to. Well, okay. So puppies naturally are, for whatever reason, are drawn to electrical things like that. I don't know why. And you have to keep an eye on them. So it made so much sense to me why this dog, because the dog even did it when she first got it to the house. Like the first time she got the puppy, he was already trying to like fuck with shit like that. So it made sense. Like they kind of set that. I think they set that up really well. And that is a very common thing that a lot of puppies do. Not all puppies do it, but a lot of them do. So,
it was so laughable whenever it happened. And it was so deliberate, too, the way the dog instantly went to it and did it in a way. Yeah, it wasn't like a dog was, it's like, oh, what's this? You know, it wasn't like it was a curious little puppy. It was like that dog was like, fuck you, Dr. Jarrett. You know, and it's like,
you leave Wishbone out of this, fried. Okay? Maybe that dog was genetically modified.
I'll buy that. No, I'm not buying that at all. That scene plays out so stupid at the end of the movie. So we've got the cat scene where he's climbing his way up the tree and he elongates his jaws and looks really weird. And this poor cat gets both these movies, by the way, we always find weird links between the movies that don't seemingly have any when we compare these. A cat gets killed in both these movies that we watched.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
That's what I was thinking when I watched Willard. I'm like, damn, these cats are having a rough go of
it. Tell me about it. Like, I can understand the cat in Man's Best Friend because they did that to show his abilities, which I thought was pretty cool. And I know how they did it. It was not the greatest effects, if you will.
It was way better done in Willard is all I'm going to say. If I'm just going to throw it out there.
Yeah, but yeah, Willard didn't, no. See, because Willard, I don't care so much visually what it looked like. It was the cat's abilities and the fact that the cat was like, you're telling me that cat just couldn't pounce over everything and escape? There's no way that cat was just going
to
fall.
It did. Oh. It tried to get away from, but we'll get to that.
Okay, yeah. That alone. We're all jumping into Willard now.
But so we've got those scenes. Well, let's get to the dog grape scene because you can't sit here and defend this. I mean.
Oh, I will.
No, you're not going to defend the P. Diddy of dogs here. Let's just throw it out there.
I will defend my client. Go ahead. You start first.
So when these two dogs meet, clearly the female dog does not want to have anything to do with that. She realizes there's something wrong with Max. There is a scene randomly after that where he gets away, and it might be after the cat. I don't know. This movie blended together at a certain point, and I was checking my phone near the end because I was done. I was tapped out on this movie. But anyways, he runs away from something, breaks into the house. He breaks into the house where the female dog's at. She jumps on the bed and she gives him a look like she's trying to protect herself. It plays this awful music. What is it? That's why they call it puppy love. club, and it sets up like it's a romance scene. No, that female dog had a look of fear on her face, and then all you hear is this like horrible like howling, like she's in pain. And then later in the movie, she has a bunch of puppies, and of course, one of them looks just like Max, and it's assumed that it's genetically modified as well because he passed on his genes.
Well, yes,
that dog was great. That you can't sit there and tell me that she
then
wanted that.
Why did she stick her head in a pillow and stick her ass out and straight up in the air like dogs do when they're about to get it?
She was on the defense the entire time that she was with him before it cut away. I don't know what you saw, but like there was some grape going on in this movie.
Okay, so we bred Chow Chow puppies when I was a teenager, and there was definitely like my dog wasn't going for it at first. You know, there was definitely running. She was very aggressive too. She was like, you know, and fucking like definitely went for the throat a few times, but eventually puppies were made. And I think it's just an animal instinct thing. It's like, yeah, at first she was probably like, no. And I'm not saying she definitely wanted it. I'm not going to say that about dogs or anything. But she fucking put her ass in the air right in front of him. If she was really trying to get away from him, she would have either tried to fight, but she probably
would have killed her.
He definitely would have killed her. But also, she could have maybe moved her butt away, because I've seen dogs do that too, where they're like, nope, 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 and they just kind of scoot, they keep scooting their butts away, and that did not
And let's throw in there the scene where, like, when he comes in the room, like we'll set the scene up, he uses his hind leg to kick the door shut.
Yes, that was hella funny! Oh my god.
Yeah. So, I'm not buying this.
I want to know how he got out. I want to know how he got out.
He probably made her, you know, get up and open the door for him because he was that kind of an ass. Oh, I mean, he was not a nice lover. Let's just throw all the cards on the table.
Oh, hold on 1 second. Who's at my door? All right, I'll have to edit that out. That was my child coming to ask me a very important question that was not important at all. Definitely could have waited.
I'm going to throw another scene in here, and I thought this was like them using a puppet, but it was actually the dog itself.
Mm-hmm.
So when the boyfriend, Perry, mm-hmm. Tries to poison the dog by giving it like some ground beef that had some poison put in it, the dog takes the poison food on the plate, throws it in the toilet, and then flushes it.
Hell yeah.
That's so fucking bad to watch in this movie. It's just like, what are you doing?
The
like,
dog's I mean, smart. I love that so much.
I was shaking my head. I'm like, what kind of a movie is this? What are we watching?
But okay, so what I didn't understand about that scene though is that why did he do that? I would have left that out for mom to see, especially when there was rat poison on the counter, to be like, look, mom, dad tried to feed me decon in my fucking
you know why they did that? Because they trained the dog to flush the toilet, and they wanted to show that they trained it to do that.
I mean, I respect that. Trust me, I do. But what they could have done is they could have showed the dog piss fucking acid into the toilet, bust the fucking lines, and flush the toilet.
You know, you just introduced a whole new thing about this movie that makes me hate it even more. All these powers he has, and they're never used for anything cool.
Yeah, that is true. Like,
it's like when we were discussing Wednesday, and we kept, and like, the more and more we talked about it, yeah, with all these monsters,
we're coming to these realizations.
Like, this kind of sucks because they didn't use any of their powers for anything smart, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I could even think of, okay, so the doctor, he was, you know, super smart, and he's, and I like how the actor really did put an effort to show how fucking insanely, amazingly smart he is. Like, I'm so smart, I fucked up, and blah, blah, blah. But, like, I was like, they could have done better in explaining, they didn't explain the genetics very well. They just explained what he had. They only explained the abilities, they didn't explain how he made it work, why he was doing it so much. I mean, he kind of had a general, you know, he like, obviously they want like this super fucking super dog. I get it, you know.
They literally hit the only thing that it was a throwaway line that somebody said in the movie was that he wanted to breed like the ultimate guard dog so he could make a shit ton of money, you know, licensing these dogs out to security firms or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that not like the dumbest reason though to make like a dog that can do that sort of stuff? Like, I mean, at least bump it up one more notch and say you want it to be for military applications. I mean, that would be,
yes, that would make sense. That, I mean, could you imagine him in the military?
Yeah, well, that way, and you look at the, you know, just the cover of the movie, and you would think that he was military, but no, they shot for the medal. They were like, military, no, military wouldn't buy anything like that. They didn't know about USA, but anyways, they went for no, high end security firms would want dogs like these.
Security.
It's like
security,
a dog that can piss acid, which literally could nullify half the things in this fucking movie if you really thought about it.
Yeah.
And the camouflage. They use the camouflage in one scene. One fucking scene, and they never use it again. Like, that dog should have been... He should have been like that T-1000 in Terminator 2.
Hell yeah.
Morphing constantly into other things.
That would have been cool, actually.
This movie... I don't like this movie. I'm just going to throw that out there. But this movie would be great if it was remade the right way.
And you took that concept. I was thinking that too, that if you could remake this movie, it could be so good. I want to go back to visuals real quick, because this is one of the visuals that I absolutely did like. And I think this is what should have been on the cover versus what we got. But you can't tell me that the effects they did on that dog after he got a fucking torch to the face and his eye... That shit looked so... I don't know how they did that.
No, that was good. You know how they did that? They put contact lens in the dog's eyes.
Poor baby.
And they could only leave it in there for like 2 minutes at a time before they had to take it out.
You know what? It looked so good.
I'll give you that. The blinded eye look was pretty good. That was the few things in the movie that was.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of something else story-wise. Again, those two dog catchers were so hokey, like, every time they were in the movie that, like, I kept thinking, I'm like, was this movie made for children? Like, it doesn't give you the hint that it was, but the way that they filmed it and the music and just some of the characters really lends itself to, like, a kid. Like, this is baby's first horror film. Like, you could let a kid watch this and be fine with it, basically.
It probably could have been.
As long as your kids are not, like, super affected by, like, a cat being eaten alive. I mean, there's that, but, you know.
I feel like, though, that we saw, I mean, I don't know, I guess Tales from the Dark Side that had a cat that crawled out of that? It was the movie where the cat crawled out of the old man's mouth. I think it was the same one where the mom and the daughter were gargoyles. Or not gargoyles, they were some kind of demon monsters. They look like gargoyles, in my opinion.
Are you talking about the Stephen King movie? Or no, the Tales from the Dark Side movie?
Tales from the Dark Side movie, yes, I just said that.
Okay. So, yeah, there's that one scene where the one guy falls in love with a gargoyle. She's in human form. He doesn't realize it. She says, the gargoyle says never to bring up the fact that you saw me or something bad will happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Understandably. But that same movie that I had to bring that up because I'm like, that to me was more memorable. But the old man that the black cat crawls out of its mouth. I saw that as a kid. I don't know. Was I just a different breed of child that saw these things and I was like, they could have easily handled fucking Man's Best Friend if they'd seen that.
Well, I mean, I personally think Man's Best Friend would be easy to watch, but because I used to, as a kid, watch Monster Squad all the time, and I felt like it had more horror in it than this. But,
yeah.
Because they were literally, Dracula literally threatened to kill a little girl in that movie. I don't know if you went back and watched Monster Squad in a while, but like...
It's been a minute now.
The kid's like, maybe 8 if she's any, I think she's younger than that. And he's basically like, you know, he calls her a bitch on top of that and then threatens to kill her.
Hell yeah. Maybe she was being a little bitch.
No, she was just trying to get rid of him. So that's why he was pissed.
Hell yeah. You know,
I don't know. Like, I can't, I mean, every scene in this movie just like, and then they, like, she gives the dog at one point in the movie to that junkyard guy. And, you know, which is a character actor. I recognized him from, like, the Bob Newhart show or whatever because he was one of the brothers, you know, this is Larry and this is my brother Daryl, my other brother Daryl, whatever, you know, like, he was one of them. But, like, you know, animal abuse starts to happen, and, of course, he gets taken out, which, you know, you can cheer for. It's one of the few scenes in the movie that's like, all right, that person deserved it. But acting, I think Lance Henriksen's the only one in this movie that I enjoyed, like, acting-wise. Like, Dr. Jarrett, like, everybody else. Ally Sheedy's just like, she's either acting, like, semi-scared or upset over the dog, and, like, really there's no range there otherwise. Yeah, like, no. That's it. And then everybody else, like the boyfriend, like he's overacting. And it's crazy that he ends up becoming the yellow-eyed demon because he's so good in that role.
Oh, he but really he, is. Yeah. Never have convinced me he was yellow eyes. Other than the fact that I had to look it up, I was like, oh, my God, because he was so much more charismatic in that fucking movie or show. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just played like a wimpy looking cuck of a guy.
He gets cooked by a fucking dog.
Yeah.
He's in the middle of trying to make love to her, and the dog's like, you ain't doing shit, boy.
You ain't touching her. Oh, my God. I swear to God, Buck, if he had an opportunity to just interfere, he'd be like, don't touch her.
That's like I said, a lot of guys realize the pain from that because, I mean, especially if the dog is male and he's overprotective of the female in the relationship, it's tough to get any, you know, special loving time in, you know.
Yeah, it's the woman that has to make sure the dogs get out of the room and makes that time. Yeah, because if I'm getting ready and I don't want to be mishandled, well, I don't want to be groped while I'm getting dressed or getting ready, I have literally two dogs by my side, and they will prevent Noah from interfering with me, which is hilarious. I fucking love it. He likes it because he wants the dogs to be protective over me, but he does get irritated.
I get it. Like, he's glad they're there in case you need them, but at the same time, it's just like, come on now.
Yeah.
Who's the real man of this house?
You, but you ain't touching me.
As far as the dog goes, we didn't see any tail wagging like we did in Cujo.
Saw it. I saw a lot of tail wagging. I wasn't looking
for it, so that's on me, but okay, I didn't see it.
Good on you, because I was like, oh, Sean's going to hate this. There was so much fucking tail wagging, and I noticed it this time.
That's crazy. Well, I mean, I think I was just caught off guard now, by just how goofy this movie was.
I'm trying to think of where I saw the first tail wagging. When he was first attacking the guy in the lab, the doctor that, well, not attacking, but so much like letting him know, you're not touching me, I'm leaving the dog, you know, at the beginning. And then,
he was supposed to be a good dog at that point. You can forgive it.
Yeah. And then there was another scene too. I saw, God, I'm trying to think, but after the like second or third or fourth time I saw the tail wagging, after that, they made sure not to have his butt in the scene where you could see a tail wagging.
Well, if they're smart, they usually don't show that.
So I did see it. I pointed it out to Noah, and I was like, ooh, Sean's going to hate this.
And I was so caught up in how bad everything else was, I wasn't even paying attention to it.
Yes.
That just shows how good Cujo was, because I was so focused on the scene, I'm like, oh, shit, the tail's wagging.
Yeah, well, and then also with Cujo, they knew to
put try the tail. Try to tie it down when they could. Down.
Yeah, which is hilarious. But also, I'm like, I don't know. I guess I've never noticed that a dog's not wagging his tail when he's working. Now, I want to see a police dog now. I need to go watch a police dog video where they're fucking attacking, you know, a fucking bad guy or something.
Oh, when they're attacking, I mean, it's totally different. I mean, that tail's either straight or it's like, you know, kind of, I think if it's curled behind, that means that they're scared. So most police dogs don't have that response. But if you see like a curled down tail from a dog that's growling at you, you better get the fuck away from it, because it is going to bite the shit out of you. Jeez. And it won't stop. I mean, because it's scared.
It's scared.
Scared. I don't know. The music we've already talked about, music's terrible. Like, it doesn't fit the movie at all. The puppy love? I mean, come on. Like, they knew they were playing that up for a joke.
They had to have. I don't know. I don't know if they were trying to lighten the mood so much that it made everything else look scarier. That's the only dumb explanation I can come to explain the dumbness away.
I think somebody should recut this movie and put some P. Diddy music in whenever they're playing Puppy Love. You know, that would make more sense for what's going on.
They could have went with R. Kelly music, too.
No, that's true too.
I mean, I don't know how young, you know, Lassie was, but
or play some Drake music.
Yeah, he didn't see nothing wrong with a little, you know, bump and grind.
Let's get in the trivia because I really want to say my review of this movie.
Okay.
There's not much trivia for either one of these, so it'll be pretty quick. The dog used to portray the DNA-altered dog in this movie is a Tibetan Mastiff, so there's that.
And he's a certified good boy, and his name is actually Max.
The scene where Max chases the cat up a tree and swallows it was done in cuts. The dog and cat had been trained together in the chase down the street. There was always approximately 15 feet between them. The cat was running to a toy with the food as reward, and the dog was running to visual and hand cues, also with food as reward. When the cat climbs the tree to escape, he is again running after a toy. Trick photography was used when it appears that Max is also climbing the tree. I mean, you know, given the fact that dogs can't do that. I mean, it makes sense. He was actually crawling on a log.
I know. You could totally tell.
And a fake dog head was used when it appears that he has the cat in his mouth. So there you go. It's a puppet, basically. The cat had walked in the back end of the fake dog head and out through the mouth. And so when it appears he's been swallowed, it was just them, the trainer of the camera, pulling the cat backwards through the mouth of the fake dog head.
Thank God the cat lived.
The mailman scene is featured in the movie Friday that came 2 years after.
He's going to get you in the ass.
Big worm. In that scene, it was not mace that was used, obviously, but water. Yeah. When you saw that Max was attacking the mailman, it was either a fake dog head on a real leg or a real dog holding onto a fake leg.
Oh, that's hella funny.
There was at least 5 dogs used in filming of this movie. When his eyes were wild and glassy after the blowtorch scene, they used contact lenses. He couldn't wear them again for longer than 2 minutes.
That's wild. I mean, I wonder if the contacts now, if dogs would be able to wear those for longer.
I don't know, because I don't know how their eyes might be different. Like,
oh yeah,
composition wise. I mean, versus
don't
ours.
Cats have like 2 different lids or something that close different ways.
Cats are weird anyways, because like house cats are the only cat that has the slit eyes. Like nobody knows why they have those.
You know what? Nowadays though, they'd probably just use CGI. So,
well, they'd probably just cover it up pretty easy that way.
Yeah. Because wait. Now that I think about it, Raccoon City, the dogs had glazed over eyes.
Yeah. They had those wide eyes, but like, I don't know. They look pretty bad in those movies, I mean, too, so, or at least the original one. They look pretty decent in the new one, though.
Well, that's why I said Raccoon City, not.
Yeah, Raccoon City, not just Resident Evil, the Mila Jovovich version.
Yeah.
Kevin Yeager, special effects guru, built the Max puppets as well as creating the makeup special effects on set. Not his best turnout either.
No, but with actual Max at the end, when Max has, I understand the contact lens, that's fine. But even like the lasered area that he got blood on him, that shit looked good. Like on the actual dog.
It wasn't bad. While this is a very violent movie, all precautions were taken by both the trainer and the production company to make sure that the dog was never in danger. Most scenes were done with verbal and visual cues given the dog, who had been carefully trained for each scene. Food and praise were always given as rewards.
Yes, because he was a certified good boy.
He had been trained to growl and speak by using a large bone to cue the dog.
He was what?
He was trained to growl and speak by using a large bone cue him.
Love it.
The shovel that Ray hits Max with in the junkyard was made of rubber. However, you never actually see the shovel hitting Max on screen.
That hurt me to my soul. The poor baby. He got hit.
The home video cover has a robot dog, which is bullshit because he is not a cyborg. Yeah. So fuck them. When Max realizes Perry is trying to poison him, he takes off and chases Perry, who escapes in his truck. Being frustrated by this, Max knocks over the parrot's cage and kills him. The scene was established with a real parrot, but is a fake parrot that is in the cage when it's knocked over. On the screen, you see feathers flying. These were fake feathers that were thrown around by the prop man. Then he takes the poison meat in the toilet and flushes it down. He was actually trained to do both things.
Yeah, he was.
Again, given food as his reward.
Yay.
In the beginning, there is a laboratory scene where various primates have devices on their heads, and cats and rabbits have burns and scars on them. All devices were light, fake props, and all burns and scars were fake, for any of you people out there that were all worried about that.
Yay!
When Ray blowtorches Max's face, it was a fake dog head that receives the burns.
I hope so.
Max chases Dr. Jarrett and Laurie's car down the street and jumps on it, causing it to crash into the EMAX building. He actually jumped onto the padded roof of a stationary car that was on a slow-moving flatbed of a truck. The trainers off-camera were on the roof of the car with Max, and safety precautions were taken so that Max couldn't fall off either side of the car. Max was not in the car when it actually turned over.
Lies. And I'm just kidding. I feel like they're saying this stuff to cover up the fact that it really did happen.
Yeah, it's like overkill. It's like, well, he really didn't do this. It's like, well, no shit. Like, if he did, I'm pretty sure. Like, I mean, the only movie that got by. That had to have special, like, you know, people on set to prove that they wasn't harming animals was Cannibal Holocaust, because like they literally killed and ate the animals in that movie. Like, they really fucking killed them.
No, I don't.
So, I mean, and after that movie, like the ASPCA and all the others were like, we want somebody on set to make sure that no animals are fucking harmed when they're making these movies.
Fucking dickwads. I hate that. I mean, I love that SPCA did that. Don't love that these people were actually doing that. Like, I understand that the kind of hunter I am, I hunt for my meat at the grocery store like a human. But I understand how it gets there. Like, I get it, but that doesn't mean you have to, like, you know, make it a thing in a movie.
There's also another movie, and I can't remember the name of it, but it's something about it, the whole movie's about snakes, and the guy's like a snake handler / killer, and they went around and they actually killed snakes in that movie too. But it was in the 70s, right?
Yeah,
the same time period or whatever.
I get it. It was a different time. Like, I get it. Unfortunately, bad things had to happen for us to have a little bit more regulations, and there's regulations for a reason.
When Max, further proof that Max was not hurt, when he was hit in the head with a paper by the paper boy, it was not a rolled up paper that hit Max, but paper with a foam inside. When he chases the paper boy down the street, the boy falls off and Max rips his tire apart. Max had previously been trained to pull on a rubber tire. He was responding to his trainer's visual and verbal cues for more food. So there you go. And finally, in one scene, when you see animal control officers trying to pull a little dog on a come along, the officers were actually pretending to be rough with a little dog who was barking in response to cues from his trainers. So no little doggies were harmed in this movie, even Yay. Though it's so goofy, I would have never imagined they would have been anyways.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm telling you the amount. We definitely did not do this. And the dog definitely did not get a scar from a real torch. And any accident,
he was really not beat with a shovel. Yeah. I mean, we didn't do that.
It's like, it's starting to get real sus. It's starting to get real, okay, well, did you?
It's like P. Diddy. I did not have anything inside of my mansion with baby oil. It's like, what, did anybody mention anything about that? Like, what are you saying this for?
It's like, and then they find a fucking bunch of baby oil. Oh, my God.
It's like he put Johnson & Johnson in business for years. Do you want to go first with a good review or mine with a very negative review? Like, what do you prefer? Because
yeah, let's start with yours so I can counter with why I thought it might, because I have a feeling that my review isn't great, but I have a feeling it's going to be better than yours.
0.5.
Wow. I didn't think it was going to be that low. I thought you'd give it at least a 1.
No, 0.5. I thought about giving it a 1, and I was just like, no. Like, this movie lost me halfway through, and I was struggling to get through it. Like, you talk about the Urania coma that kicks in on some of these movies.
Snooze fest?
It hit me in the opposite. It's like, come on now. This movie's so fucking ridiculous. Now, if I'd been here with a nice, like, adult beverage and somebody was beside of me and we was making jokes about this movie, I'd love it. This is the perfect movie for making fun of. But as far as just watching it to enjoy it, fuck no. Fuck this movie. This movie sucks.
Is that it? Are you done?
That is it for me. I don't need to elaborate on that.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, I gave this movie a 2.5 because...
That's actually lower than I expected.
Yes, okay. Because Max, again, the hardest part of this movie was knowing that this dog, again, as I've mentioned previously, was a victim of its circumstances. The dog was insanely smart. The dog definitely had good in him. I mean, he also had that dog in him. But, like, the dog was put in him by, you know, by an evil fucking scientist, you have to admit. And then the scientist loses control of him. Well, what the fuck did you think was going to happen? Let's talk about the bats in China.
going back to a better movie, Jurassic Park, you were so preoccupied with whether you could, you didn't question whether you should.
Exactly. Okay, and then, like, now the only person that has some semi-control over this dog, you're fucking mad at her because she was literally rescuing an animal that you were doing very inhumane things to. Like, no wonder the dog ended up the way that it ended up. You know, and then anyone that did the dog wrong or the dog didn't like, or if it you gave it a command, because that dog's job technically was to listen. However, it came to a point where that dog was only listening to who he was loyal to at that point. I have a feeling she could have, it's hard to say, but I had a feeling she could have had good control over him. The effects were pretty fucking horrible in this movie. That's why it is in the low twos, because I would have gone a 3 possibly on this movie. Yeah, but
you saying that she could control him sounds like every woman reading one of those dark romance novels. It's like, I know he was a rapist and a monster, but he would have been, I could have changed him.
Oh my God. Full disclosure. Do you know that I do not read those? Everybody thinks that I'm goth. Like, everyone thinks I'm goth, emo, whatever. And that's fine. I understand. I dress that way and I fucking have a skull tattooed on my hand, like, or a skeleton hand, but like, I get it, but I'm not goth. But even that, I love dark shit, but do you know that I do not read dark fantasy?
Yeah, you've told me off air that you don't read that stuff.
I actually read fluffy rom-coms. I feel like when you live a certain way, and I like everything dark and gothy in my house, I have the aesthetics. So when you live like that in real life, you don't need the fantasy of it. You're just like, I'm living my fantasy. And give me some, I want some cotton candy now.
I've said this before to somebody. You could sit there and say what you want to about this stuff. I watched Hellraiser at an age where it definitely affected me. Your little novels don't mean shit. Mm-mm. Just saying. I mean, there's other stuff out there.
I don't think gothy people in general, I don't think gothy women like gothy looking men, though. I don't think that's what they fantasize about.
I don't know. I can't. I mean, if you go by TikTok, they go after blue collar guys. Yes. But I think that's just a way for them to rinse blue collar guys on OnlyFans. But that's just, you know, my thought.
I don't think it's a thing. But anyways, going back to Max, though. I was in visuals.
Visuals, you said they were
most
really bad.
Of it looked horrible. Although I have to say that it did pick up at the end.
I'm glad that it finished on a strong
note. Yes, it finished on a stronger note. I'm trying to think what else, too. The music didn't bother me. I thought the music was hilarious. I actually liked how the music, I feel that the music enhanced the scariness, because you think that this is light and fluffy and friendly, and it's not. He's not. He's got some things going on with him.
You know what's funny, though? I mentioned during Cujo, it had, like, the made-for-TV music, too, but it had the overly dramatic, sentimental music, you know? Like, but this one had more, like, the kids, you know, TV music, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and as you could see, the dog didn't do anything bad to kids, so he gets points for that. He was protective. He was protective of his woman, and her husband was dumb.
Well, technically, according to IMDb, he was just the boyfriend, but they were a little too close for just, you know, they were living together. That's not to say that they couldn't be, but like, this was early 90s. Usually it was implied if they were together in the same household that they were probably married or engaged at the very least.
They were married.
So I don't know where.
She said, yeah, her husband. Or
I thought it was her husband, but like IMDb was like, no, it's her boyfriend. And I'm like, I feel like they had more going on than that, but.
Yeah.
It is kind of funny, though. I'm going to throw this out there because I just remembered it. Like, halfway through the movie, like, he gets separated from her, and, like, I don't think she ever questions where he's at. Do you remember if she does?
If she questions where the dog is?
No, where Perry is at, her husband. Like, he disappears, he runs off in the truck, and then he's not in the movie for, like, a good chunk after that, mm-hmm. And I don't think she ever questions where the fuck he's at.
She's kind of busy doing her own thing. She's just like, you know, I kind of wonder if he had just accepted the dog, would things have been different? The dog would have still been very protective of this woman. You got to understand.
That's like asking a pet cemetery if, you know, Lewis Creed could have accepted his son's death, would they have been an issue with, you know, zombies running around? Like, no. But then the movie wouldn't have happened, or whatever.
There's the whole, okay, would things have changed? But also, you got to understand the circumstances that this dog, you don't, what this woman pulled this dog from is insane. The cruel things that was happening to this dog, his loyalty was forever going to be with her.
Okay, but here's the thing. If she would have listened to Dr. Jarrett and Dr. Jarrett had been, like, semi-reasonable, could they have not, like, you know, gave the dog, like, the injection before that, you know, so it didn't go start raving mad and start killing things?
Yeah, but
because he had that whole scene where he talked to this weird AI thing, which looked ridiculous too, because it's like you got that old blue screen monitor just or whatever, you know, and then some woman's face on there. It's like Dr. Jarrett, you know, like she's all like sexy or whatever. and he's like, so how much time do we have before, you know, it's beyond the point? And she's like 15 hours. And he's like, how much time is it, you know, before, or, the minimum, you know, before it started taking effect or something like that? She's like, oh, that already happened. Yeah, you know?
Pretty much. No, because he is as insane as he made that dog. And he was, what did he say? The dog was a $1 billion project or $1 million project? Like multi-million? It was
probably $1 million back then. You know, inflation, it's really fucked up the economy.
Yeah, so he all he could see was, no, this is my moneymaker. I don't care. I need to have control over him. I think non-medically, this woman could have still had control over him. And this is really fucking up my review because it's still 2.5. But I just explaining, like, the things I was feeling watching this movie that is what kept it at a 2.5 and didn't make it a 1. Also trying to give you the things that didn't make it a 3. It's not a great movie. I feel like if this movie were on TV, I would watch it. I was enthralled by the dog. I thought he was super cute. He had his bad boy moments. Like, I get it. You know, we all, you know, it's just girly things. You guys wouldn't get it.
Apparently not. I'm telling you, it's like, if this came on TV, it'd be an instant like, nope. Like, and I'd be moving on to the next thing.
Yeah, I think
it's movies like this that makes when bad animals go bad, like, you know, everybody's just like, come on, these movies fucking suck. Like, to me, this is the epitome of this type of movie. You know, like, let's just throw out there, there's Jaws. Like, this is not even the same universe as fucking Jaws, it's as not, far as like a shark movie.
This is water. This is a dog. Dogs have been by man and woman's side for I don't even know how long. I feel like dogs originally started with men because the dogs went hunting with the men, etc. Versus women were, you know, the ones not technically at home, but they kind of stayed in a certain area and did the things there to kind of make the village work, if you will.
Well, if you want to go by the current theory on how they ended up getting wolves in the dogs, it basically amounted to when the men were out hunting, the more pacified wolves came up to the edge of the fire and they threw them food, and eventually they became like comfortable enough that they moved in. And then whenever they started having puppies, they would take them instantly I don't know, cubs, whatever you want to call them. They would take them as soon as they were born, and then that way they were fully with the people instead of the, and over time, that's how they became different.
Yes. But I feel like that started with men more than women, hence the term man's best friend.
Women wouldn't have been stupid enough to get near the wolves. Like, I wonder,
look at how we are now. We're the ones that are like, my husband will not let me take a raccoon in, like, at all. He won't let me take in, like, a fox. What's the most recent one I told him?
Well, that's because over time men realize what could be domesticated and what couldn't, and you all still don't know what the fuck you're doing with that. Like, I mean, you could take in a possum. It's just going to sit there and still give you that awful look like it wants to bite you, but knowing that it won't, you know.
When we met my current Velcro dog, which is Buck, and this is very much has to do with this movie, this dog was the most aggressive motherfucker. Because this dog was about to be put down, and we were its last chance at a home. Because if nobody took this dog in and rehabilitated it, which we had no experience doing, mind you, we had no experience in rehabilitating a dog. And we were told this dog would be put down. This is a purebred Australian Shepherd. I don't care that it's purebred. I could give two shits. We got it fixed. It is no longer AKC certified because we got it fixed, because that's not what my intention is with animals. And we took this dog, and the day that I met this dog, it was trying to murder everyone around it. It was aggressive. It was terrified. It was aggressive. It was growling. It was barking, and it was snapping at people. and I put my hand by this dog's mouth and eventually put my hand in this dog's mouth because I am stupid. Because I wanted to know if this dog bites me, it's not coming home to my kids. I had a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old at the time. I had little children, which, by the way, this dog was very aggressive towards. Not my kids specifically, but I was told the dog was aggressive towards children, and that's why they're getting rid of it. And this dog would not bite me, and I said, I can make this dog be good, and I made that dog be good. So that's my problem. As I, if I could fix that dog, I could fix a lion.
We go back to women thinking they can change rapists, monsters. Let's just throw it out there.
And look, this isn't a dark fantasy. This was a dog that just needed a loving home. He was in a kennel all the time. You can't put an Australian Shepherd in a kennel 24/7. That's inhumane.
I'm glad that you was able to do that, but like there's just some things. It's like, okay, they're lost causes. Let them go.
This dog jumped out of a window when I was at the gas station because a homeless person kept approaching me after I told him to stop, and he jumped out the window, scared the fuck out of the guy, and then just stayed by me. He didn't even go attack him. That's a good boy.
In my mind, this is the same as Ted Bundy receiving conjugal visits right before he was put to death. It's like, you're not getting anything better from this thing.
I am. He's a good boy. He protects his mommy. Okay, so switching up, because I'm sure everyone's tired of hearing of my animal rant. So I'm at a 2.5 for Man's Best Friend, and Reverend is at half a point. And I want to know if there's any listeners that agree with me, agree with him. Maybe somebody was higher than both of us, or maybe you thought this should get 0. Because that technically is a thing. Like, that can be a thing. You can choose what to do with your fucking points. Like, you don't have to give them away if you don't want to.
Yeah, I gave it 0.5 just for Lance Henriksen. He's the only thing that kept me in this movie.
And recently, and why I'm bringing this up is we love when the listeners give us some reviews or give us some comments. And we have 2 ones very recently that I would like to go over real quick. And I did respond to these people already, so... We had one commenter, Anthony Jordan Movies and More. They are on YouTube. And he brought up something in terms of The Wolf of Snow Hollow. Did you get a chance to read that comment yet?
I don't think I have seen that one, no.
Okay. I don't know if your mind is going to be as blown as mine was, but I'm going to tell you right now, before I even read this comment, my mind was blown. I love this comment, and these are what we're looking for. When we tell you guys, go on our comments. I don't care if you go on Instagram, not Spotify, you can't really comment there, YouTube, we're on Facebook, you know, just wherever. And if you want to leave a comment or anything about our reviews or what you thought about the movie, fucking please, we invite you to do that. You can even tell us we're wrong. We are very open-minded to hear, you know, what your thoughts were versus ours, because literally these are just opinions. They're like assholes. Everybody has one. Okay.
And everybody stinks.
Okay, so his, Anthony Jordan, Movies and More. I really like how the werewolf in this was more or less a metaphor for his alcoholism.
That is a really good comment.
Yeah, I was like, I did not for a second even think about that. But it wasn't just, because the alcoholism is a monster.
Yeah.
And it's ruining his fucking life.
And it got progressively worse, and then, you know, as the movie went along, just like his alcoholism did.
Exactly. So, thank you very much for that comment, because, I was like, are you fucking kidding me right now? I had not even thought about that, and I was like, that is probably one of the best things. That it made that movie even, like, better, and now I feel like I need to rewatch the movie with that thought in my head. I mean,
I like that. I like that a lot.
The movie is rewatchable as it is already, but now with the thought that the werewolf isn't just a bad human. The werewolf itself isn't just a monster of a human. It's also a monster of alcoholism. So, anyways, next review we got. This is from the Yubali? I don't know if I'm pronouncing that. At the Yubali. And he or she, I'm sorry, says, hey guys, I started listening to your Dawn and Day reviews during my drive yesterday, and I have to say that you're actually pretty damn good. if you've ever watched the shelf reviews, I think you can incorporate clips like they do to similar effects. Anyways, I'm subscribed and looking forward to the rest of your content. And to that, I say thank you very much. The Reverend and I have been trying to put together video. He's been pushing it. I kind of have to make it work on this end, and I'm not 100% how to do that. But I think if we could do that and we could throw in clips as well, I think that would be a great idea. I think it would enhance the channel a lot. We've definitely been talking about it. So we're in the works. I can't promise you it's anything that's coming soon. But not only are we considering it, but I'm trying to figure out how to make it work. So
I don't know if we've officially decided what we're going to do next season, but I think we should try to start that next season for sure.
Yeah, I think
whatever that season is.
Yeah, I thought it was vampire and witch season, or we talked about human horror.
Yeah, we mentioned that, so that might be worth doing.
I think we should do vampire witch season in that way. That's a nice, kind of friendly season to do that. I have a feeling we're going to be real disgusted by human horror season, at least for a few films.
Yeah, but human horror has such good, like, just dramatic stuff in it, too. Like, I mean,
yeah.
God, I watched Seven again recently. Fucking amazing movie.
Yes. Oh, we also got, that was on Resident Evil, the 2002 movie review. We got two comments on there. We also got one from The Fruit Cup 8747. Impressed, I'm in. And we thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate any comments like that. And, I mean, you know, even if they're constructive criticism, I mean, we get it,
yes.
You know, whatever. It's just, you know, when you throw out stuff like, you know, you suck, like that doesn't help anything. It's like, okay, what would you like improved?
Am I good at it? Or could I use a little bit more tips? I mean, come on now. Help a bitch
Is there too much teeth involved? Yeah. Like, come on now.
you got to be constructive about it. Criticism, we don't care. It's we get it. Like, it's part of the whole, you know, putting your content out there. It's going to happen. We're totally okay with it. Just fucking give us something, like, because we can try to be better. We want to do better.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I just, going back to this movie, I mean, I know just threw out there that it sucked as far as, like, you know, my overall review. But I threw out there throughout the, you know, the thing, what I did not like about this. This is not a movie I would want to rewatch. I was pretty sure that it wasn't one that I liked anyways, because whenever Urena mentioned this to me, I'm like, man, I really remember bouncing off this movie hard when it came out. And like, now I remember why. Like, this is not in my wheelhouse at all of things I like to watch, period.
Yeah.
So, anything else you want to throw out there before we close this one up and move on to Willard?
Yeah, my client is innocent.
That is false. You cannot make that claim, because he is clearly a deranged individual. And even though he tried to rectify some of his past crimes, his spirit does not need to live on in his little puppy at the end of the movie like they showed.
He can change.
And with that, folks, peace be with you.
And with your spirit.